It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This morning, we want to explore some of the healing powers of art.
We want somebody to want to hear our story, like that we have that need as humans to, like, you know, convey stuff to other people. We want to communicate on a higher level. And I think that, you know, the arts let you take it a step beyond just words.
That's coming up on West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. In June of 2017, West Virginia University Medicine was studying a little-known approach to cancer treatment called narrative medicine. The aim was to improve the treatment experiences for doctors and patients alike. The idea with narrative medicine is that if doctors get to know patients through their life stories, the physicians will be able to improve their ability to care for their patients beyond simply managing symptoms. It takes time to sit down and record stories with cancer patients like Lacey Wallace, but the art of storytelling had lasting effects, especially for a patient's family.
I got my phone. You just call me when you need me, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Dad.
Lacey Lee Wallace is wearing a floral dress several sizes too big. Her skin is almost translucent, making the whimsical tattoos on her arms and chest pop more dramatically than they might if she were healthy.
I'm a 33-year-old woman that resides in Moundsville, West Virginia, and I've been going to WVU Hospital for treatment for my colon cancer, which is a stage 4 right now.
Lacey is also a mother of a 12-year-old and a toddler.
Here you go. Here's your shoes. Okay.
I got my shoes.
Mhm. What color are your shoes?
Pink.
Mhm. Pink.
You gonna show her the garden?
What's her garden?
Yes, please.
She was diagnosed last March with stage 3 colon cancer. By August, it had progressed to stage 4. None of the drugs doctors have tried have worked longer than a couple of weeks before the cancer mutated and the drugs stopped working.
More doctors, more appointments, you know, more drugs, like. Scary stuff.
Lacey is a multimedia artist who works mostly with paper, creating collages, or art you have to interact with, as she describes it.
We want to be feeling like we're important. We want somebody to want to hear our story, like that we have that need as humans to, like, you know, convey stuff to other people. We want to communicate on a higher level. And I think that, you know, the arts let you take it a step beyond just words. You know, you get to go into something, you get to see something and be a part of it. I tend to make a lot of interactive art. Where the person can't see the artwork unless they interact with the piece. And I like that because it's like always before, it's like, don't touch my art. But I like to make them have to touch the art or they don't get to see it. Like then you don't get to be a part of it if you're not going to participate. And that's fine if you don't want to participate, but it's here if you want to. And I think, you know, like art is therapy in that way. And same with the storytelling, you know, it builds us up. You know, and even if it's just for one day or 1 minute or 1 hour, you feel empowered because somebody is listening and actually caring about your story.
So for her, the narrative medicine program being conducted by Dr. Carl Gray and creative writing professor Renee Nicholson was a natural fit.
I do something called advanced care planning.
Dr. Gray is a geriatrician and a hospice doctor who focuses mostly on easing patients' symptoms toward the end of life, practicing what's called palliative care.
And if you read about advanced care planning, boiling it down to its essential, it is talking to patients about what they would want if something happens to them and they're not able to make decisions for themselves, especially when they're very sick.
But patients don't always fill out advanced care forms, even though they can make the difference between dying in a hospital or dying at home, or having CPR performed or not. Gray thinks part of the problem is that advanced care planning forms, called advanced directives, don't include space for narratives.
So you can look at this advanced directive and see that they have this wish or that wish, but they usually just mean whether or not they want CPR, but you don't have any idea of what the context of the story was. So again, I thought that maybe getting a story could be helpful with that.
There's also some evidence, he says, that doing writing with patients can help with quality of life.
But being somebody who works in palliative care, I care a lot about quality of life. That's what I'm always striving to improve in patients.
So when Gray met Renee Nicholson, a creative writing professor at West Virginia University, the two of them decided to work together to write grant proposals for a clinical trial of narrative medicine. The project was funded, and Nicholson began collecting patient stories last August.
Our goal is to have them talk about whatever they want.
The stories are taken orally, then transcribed and lightly edited into prose. A final version becomes part of the patient's medical history.
It's really, you know, what they think is important about their life that they want to share and talk about. That's what we're really hoping to do.
Lacey loves that.
Now, some people chose to discuss their cancer and when they got diagnosed and how it changed their life. And I decided, instead of talking just about my cancer, you know, which is like more of a side note to like my life, not, you know, the main chapter, you know. So I just started off telling her about memories that make me happy. And one of the best memories that I have and things that I do that inspire me is be a model for other artists.
Lacey says when she sits as a model for other artists, she makes sure to dress up in colorful clothes or dramatic makeup to give them something interesting to work with. It's humbling, she says, to see yourself in the eyes of another. Nicholson says reflecting on life is the whole point. When you do that, you come to learn what's important to you, and deciding what you want at the end of your life might be a little easier. She says it can also help you connect with loved ones or distract you from the painful monotony that is cancer treatment.
What we try to do is see if there's any correlation between the patient's quality of life, and we use a survey that's well known and well used called the McGill Quality of Life Survey. And we measure both when we go in to take the story and after we return the stories to see if there's any change in quality of life. And then we ask some questions about the patient's preparedness to do things like advanced care planning and their understanding of it, and would they be comfortable talking to their doctor or their health professional. And then we also ask them after they've received their story if doing a story was a pleasurable experience for them and if it helped them feel more prepared to have some of those conversations.
The project is still pretty new, so they don't have a lot of definitive data yet. But Nicholson says anecdotally it's showing a lot of promise. I asked her if she thought it was sustainable. Gathering stories takes a lot of time. And as anyone who has spent extended time in the hospital knows, doctors don't have a lot of time to spend with patients. She says she's honestly not sure, but hopes so. Story is an important part of care.
You know, I think for the doctors, it gives them a different view of the patients. One of the things that Dr. Gray shared with me very early on was, I just didn't know that the stories were going to be so beautiful. And that really struck me, you know, because I always expect people's personal stories to be beautiful. I think people lead much more extraordinary lives than they think. So that was interesting and kind of very compelling as far as medicine, because you get a certain story in medicine, but you don't always get a total one. Patients themselves get excited, and I think that there's something validating about seeing your own story on a piece of paper.
But on some level, Nicholson says, the story gathering is just about having something different and unique going on in a situation that is pretty tough. The story, she says, allows participants to escape into the self they were before their diagnosis. Nicholson and Gray hope to complete their study in July of 2018. Nicholson says if her approach to narrative medicine improves health outcomes for cancer patients, she'd like to expand the project to other groups of patients struggling with long hospital stays. But that, she says, is a little ways off. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Renee Nicholson and collaborating researchers have so far spoken and worked with about 60 patients, and the study was expanded after the pilot. Researchers are now exploring the possibility of working with patients dealing with other ailments. Nicholson has maintained a relationship with Lacey Wallace's family. Lacey passed away shortly after that story first aired. Almost 2 years later, we pick up with the story again. A group of artists in Wheeling recently made good on a promise to Lacey and the two daughters that she had to leave behind. Glennis Board reports.
The Stifel Fine Arts Center in Wheeling presented an art exhibit this spring called The Art of Healing. The exhibition culminated last week with a silent art auction. Wheeling area artist Cece Rose is part of an independent group of artists who meet to make art at the Stifel.
The art group's been meeting for about 15 years now. And we just started out as a group of artists that wanted to get together and draw from the live model.
Cece met and invited Lacey Wallace to sit for the group 10 years ago. Lacey loved being a model for the artists.
And she stuck with us for at least 8 years, and then she got her diagnosis. And she stuck with us through most of that. She modeled for us when she had lost 100 pounds from the colon cancer. And we just rode it out together.
Cece and some other members of the artist group went to visit Lacey when she was very ill. She asked them to do her a favor.
She said, I'm going to fight. I'm going to be a warrior. I'm going to really fight this. But just in case, would you put together an exhibit of all these drawings and paintings of me and do this for my daughters? And of course, we were, absolutely.
Lacey Lee Wallace was a Wheeling area artist and artist model, mother of two, who was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer in her 30s. Her multimedia.
That's Rosalind Wallace, Lacey's almost 14-year-old daughter. She's reading an artist statement about her mom and showing me one of her mom's pieces at the art exhibit. An abstractly painted self-portrait called Selfless Portrait has dreadlocks attached to it. An abstracted key made of loosely spindled wire hangs from a necklace also attached through the canvas around the neck of the painted portrait.
Consisting of buttons, bows, butterflies, my dreadlocks from 2006 to 2008, so yes, those were her dreadlocks, and a replica of the key I have worn since my grandmother's death in the summer of 2003.
Rosalind also happens to be wearing a key necklace, but she says there's no real sentimental value like her mom's had. Her mom's key will go to her little sister, Zuzu.
This is Zuzu Wallace. Say hi, Zuzu.
Hi.
Zuzu, how old are you?
4.
And what are you doing here today?
Looking at paintings.
Yeah?
Okay, which one of these in mommy do you like?
Oh. He did all
like
of
them.
But this one right there and there.
Yeah?
And there. That one's the one that I like too.
Really?
Really.
Zuzu's grandfather, Lacey's dad, Tom Garofalo, was also at the event. He was really close with Lacey. He remembers when she first became interested in art.
You know, she got the idea, and as she grew, she understood that artists were trying to tell something, not just look what I can paint. They were trying to bring you somewhere and put you in a certain moment of time, and she got that.
She told us toward the end that she just wanted to be a painting on the wall of a woman that people would walk past and say, I wonder who that woman is.
Artist Cece Rose, who organized the auction, says most of the art sold, and several portraits were donated back to the family. Dozens of community members showed up to bid. The independent artist group, together with the Stifel Fine Arts Center, managed to raise $4,000 for Lacey's girls. Cece says the auction and the larger exhibit provided valuable insight about some of the deeper values of art.
This brought awareness to the community that art permeates everything. Art is so healing.
But there's no way I can see how far I'll go until I see how far I'll go. I'll see how far I can go. I'll see.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
By myself, and I know I can do this. On my own. I can do this by my own, on my adventures. I follow a girl.
That was 4-year-old Zuzu Wallace, the daughter of Lacey Wallace. Her mom was an artist and model from Marshall County who died 2 years ago from colon cancer. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.